Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, Vibhishana, the pious brother of Ravana and devotee of Lord Ramachandra, received approval from Lord Ramachandra, the king of Kosala. Then he performed the prescribed funeral ceremonies for his family members to save them from the path to hell. After giving up the body, one is transferred to another body. But sometimes, if one is too sinful, he is checked from transmigrating to another body, and thus he becomes a ghost. To save a diseased person from ghostly life, the funeral ceremony or Shraddha ceremony, as prescribed in authorized Shastra, must be performed. Ravana was killed by Lord Ramachandra and was destined for hellish life, but by Lord Ramachandra's advice, Vibhishana, Ravana's brother, performed all the duties prescribed in relation to the dead. Thus, Lord Ramachandra was kind to Ravana even after Ravana's death. Verse again. Shishuku vacha swanan vibhishanas chakre kosalendranumoditaha pitrimedha vidhanena yaruktan samparayakam. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, Vibhishana, the pious brother of Ravana and devotee of Lord Ramachandra, received approval from Lord Ramachandra, the king of Kosala. Then he performed the prescribed funeral ceremonies for his family members to save them from the path to hell. Okay, so this verse and purport are about what Prabhupada calls here in the purport the Shraddha ceremony or funeral ceremony. This is a good example of why it's important to know what all these funny little marks on the Sanskrit words mean, because there's another word that's spelled exactly the same way that means something completely different. Hare Guru, commentary. There's the word Shraddha with the long mark over the last A. It means faith. This is a different word. The long mark's over the first A. There's Shraddha and there's Shraddha. You may have heard that it's not all one. So, like, for instance, every year at Janmashtami, devotees are talking about Vasudev. We have sometimes some theater about the pastimes of Lord Krishna taking his birth, and then there's Lord Krishna, and then there's Vasudev. But it's not Vasudev, it's Vasudev. They're completely different. There's Vasudev, and there's Vasudev, the son of Vasudev. So in one sense, these things aren't so important, but they are important because they mean different things. When you have the long sound at a different place, it means something completely different. One time some Indian gentleman went to Sri Srila Prabhupada, and they were complaining that your disciples don't recite the Sanskrit properly. Prabhupada laughed. He said, yes, I know. And then he said, just like in this song, Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam, the word in the song is Guru, which means Guru. But there's another word, Goru, which means cow. Just switching the two vowels. Instead of Guru, it's Guru, it becomes Guru. So Prabhupada was saying like that, so he laughed. He said, so sometimes my disciples are calling me a cow, but I understand. So in one sense it's not so important, but on the other hand, it is important. And regarding the Shraddha ceremony, I don't want you to... I don't want to completely I don't want you to lose your faith in the speaker this morning, but I don't know very much about the Shraddha ceremony. Probably most of you know a lot more about it than I do, especially those from Indian backgrounds. I also am not a big authority on the Ramayana, but the question is, why would Lord Ramachandra tell him to perform the Shraddha ceremony? Because seems like all we need to do is chant Hare Krishna, so why is he telling him that? Anybody have an answer? All you scholars? Yes, sir. Huh? What's that? Okay, but still, the point is to focus on transcendental activities. Why perform the Shraddha Sim? Yeah, it's part of culture. Yeah, somebody else? Yes. Yes, that's also an important point, following the culture and, yeah. Yes, sir. I'm sorry? Yes. Yeah, Lord Ramachandra in particular, when he appeared on this planet, he was specifically acting in a way that would be... well, somewhat ordinary. I mean, sometimes ordinary, not always. Like, for instance, he was famous for just having one wife, whereas Lord Krishna breaks all the rules. He had lots of wives, plus a whole bunch of girlfriends. And sometimes people criticize, Prabhupada said that sometimes people criticize that they criticize Lord Krishna. They don't want to worship Lord Krishna because they say he was very lusty. So Prabhupada said, even if he was lusty, Prabhupada said, even if he is lusty, he's the most lusty. But because of that, sometimes people think it's immoral or something. Of course, how can God be immoral? He can do whatever he wants. But Lord Ramachandra, when he came, he set a different kind of example. Yes, following all the sort of normal activities of a householder. Yes.
Vishnu was also the crown king, so everyone else would follow his path.
Okay. Anything else? Yeah, so in one sense, such things are not important. Divarshi Bhutaptraninan Pitrinan, how's it called? Nakin Kuronayan Rinijarajan, Savatmanayat Sharanan Sharanyan Gatomakundan Parahitya Kartam. When one takes full shelter of Mukunda, the awarder of liberation, then he doesn't have any other obligations at all, any kind of obligations. Because when we come to this world, we have so many obligations. We're obligated to the devas, devarshi. Devas means the demigods. They're supplying the water and the sun and the wind and food. Everything is coming from the demigods. So we have obligations to the demigods. Rishis, we owe so much to the great sages who have gone before us. Devarshi, Bhutapta, Bhuta means all living entities. Actually, we're obligated to everyone. Apta. Bhutapta. Apta means relatives. You wouldn't have a body and you wouldn't be here if it weren't for your relatives, in particular your parents. Bhutapta, Ninan. All human society, particularly human society, we have to interact with other human beings, whether we like them or don't like them, but we have to interact with them. Pitrinam, the forefathers, we're obliged to all the forefathers. Bhutaptra Ninan, Patrinan, Bhutaptra Ninan, Bhutapta, Devashi Bhutaptur Ninan Petrinan, Nakin Karo Nayan Radich Rajan, Sarvatmana Yat Sharanan Sharanyam. When one takes shelter of the shelter of all other shelters, Gato Mukundam Padaritya Kartum, who is Mukunda, the giver of liberation, then he has no more obligations to anybody. However, it's also stated in other places that if one doesn't take complete shelter of Mukunda, but abandons these responsibilities, then he's going to get a reaction. So, and Srila Prabhupada also, for the sake of, social convention, following the cultures, Srila Prabhupada sometimes did such things. Often he didn't, but sometimes he did. And after all, Srila Prabhupada is our founder acharya, so we should put great importance on what Srila Prabhupada said and also the examples that he set. These days, we've observed sometimes that devotees aren't so concerned about what Prabhupada said or did. They're mainly concerned about what their own initiating guru says or does, whether or not that's consistent with what Prabhupada said or did. Or they're interested in something else about Indian culture or what the Gaudiya Math does or what this scripture says or that scripture says, but without considering, what did Prabhupada say? What did Prabhupada do? So he's our founder acharya, so that has to be given great importance. So Prabhupada showed both examples of neglecting social conventions, but sometimes following. For example, at the inauguration of Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan and the installation of the deities, Srila Prabhupada hired, I forget how many, it seemed like, I think about 15 Brahmins, local Brahmins. I was there, I remember some of it. And the reason was so that the local people would take seriously this temple. I thought it was kind of humorous seeing all these different Brahmins, because they all had different kinds of tilak. Some had shaved heads, some had long hair, some had shaved heads, some had shaved head with a mustache. And the only thing I remember about that they had in common, all of them seemed to have a big belly. I noticed that. Don't tell them I said that, but I just happened to notice. But anyhow, Prabhupada said that although they were being hired to perform the ceremony, but Prabhupada also commented, he said, actually, we don't need this. Because at the same time that the ceremony was going on, there was also Harinam Sankirtan. Prabhupada said, all we need is Harinam Sankirtan to install the deities. We don't need all this other stuff. But in order to be accepted socially by the local people, then therefore Prabhupada did that. But he also set other examples. For instance, I was present at the anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's disappearance in, this was in Durban, South Africa, 5 years ago. And my godbrother Shyamlal Prabhu was speaking there. Any of you know Shyamlal Prabhu? He used to spend a lot of time, he used to spend a lot of time in England, but that was years ago. Anyhow, he was relating how he was born in Navadvip, actually. He didn't mention whether his family were Vaishnavas or not, but I presume they were Vaishnavas. I don't know. But he joined the movement when he was 17 years old, and he was living in the Calcutta temple. And Prabhupada was there. And he got the news that his father had left his body in Navadvipa. So he went to Srila Prabhupada and he asked him what I should do about this, because the family members want me to come back for the funeral. And but I'm scheduled to go on Sankirtan. So they had some discussion a little bit, and Prabhupada finally said, I think you should go on Sankirtan. So these are two different, very different examples. We have to know when one example should be applied and when another example should be applied. Another thing is that what is appropriate for one person or one particular type and circumstance may not be appropriate for another person or another time and circumstance. Like, for instance, here, Lord Ramachandra is telling Vibhishana to perform the Shraddha ceremony, the funeral ceremony. But that does not necessarily mean that that's what we should do. Like, for instance, here's the example, Prabhupada to Shyamlal, telling him, forget it. You don't have to go. Go on Sankirtan. So Lord Ramachandra's instruction to Vibhishana is not necessarily meant for us. It may be, it may not be. What we should be concerned about there are the instructions given to us by the founder, Acharya of ISKCON. So, like, here's another example. Let's say Narada Muni told Dhruva Maharaj to chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, right? So a person might think, well, yeah, here's Narada Muni. He's one of the 12 Mahajans, and he said to chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I guess that's what we should do, too. Why are we chanting Hare Krishna? We should just chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, following the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj. Yeah, well, the reason we don't do that is because that's not the instruction that we were given. Of course, actually, for those who come to Bhagavatam class, we do chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya every morning 3 times. So, but for the main mantra that we're chanting is given to us by Srila Prabhupada, coming from Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya came to spread the chanting of Hare Krishna in this age, and so we followed that, that's why. So it's different instructions for different individuals, different circumstances, different situations. Let's see, what else? Srila Prabhupada comments about this system of, my observation is that Srila Prabhupada used this expression, Shraddha ceremony, to mean, sometimes like here, he used it to mean the funeral ceremony, right after the person leaves the body. But other places he seems to use it to mean offering pinda, or offering food to the ancestors, after it's been offered to the Lord. Prasadam, offering prasadam to the ancestors. So he seems to use the word shraddha in these two ways. And he comments about this in a purport in the Bhagavad Gita. There's a verse in chapter 1, Sankaro nadakaya eva kulagnanan kulasya cha patanti pitarohyesham lupta pindodaka kriyaha. Here we have this word pinda, or offerings of food. Translation, an increase of unwanted population certainly causes hellish life both for the family and for those who destroy the family traditions. The ancestors of such corrupt families fall down because the performances for offering them food and water are entirely stopped. So this is one of Arjuna's arguments to Krishna, why he shouldn't kill his family members. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, according to the rules and regulations of fruitive activities, there is a need to offer periodical food and water to the forefathers of the family. So he's saying that this is according to the rules and regulations of fruitive activities. This offering is performed by worship of Vishnu, because eating the remnants of food offered to Vishnu can deliver one from all kinds of sinful reactions. Sometimes the forefathers may be suffering from various types of sinful reactions, and sometimes some of them cannot even acquire a gross material body and are forced to remain in subtle bodies as ghosts. Thus, when remnants of prasadam food are offered to forefathers by descendants, the forefathers are released from ghostly or other kinds of miserable life. Such help rendered to forefathers is a family tradition, and those who are not in devotional life are required to perform such rituals. Pretty clear. He says, those who are not in devotional life are required to perform such rituals. I mean, I never heard of Prabhupada telling any of his disciples that they have to do this. One who is engaged in the devotional life is not required to perform such actions. Simply by performing devotional service, one can deliver hundreds and thousands of forefathers from all kinds of misery. It is stated in the Bhagavatam, 11.5.41, Devarshi bhutaptar ninam patrinam nakinkaro nayan rini charajan sarvatmana yaksharanan sharanyan katomukundan parahritya kartam. That's the verse I quoted earlier. Anyone who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the giver of liberation, giving up all kinds of obligation, and has taken to the path in all seriousness, owes neither duties nor obligations to the demigods, sages, general living entities, family members, humankind, or forefathers. Unquote. Such obligations are automatically fulfilled by performance of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, why was Prabhupada putting something like this in one of his purports? It's a very strong statement to make. So obviously, his readers are not going to be completely transcendental personalities. Yet Prabhupada is giving this statement. So as far as I can understand, because His mood seemed to be to get people to focus, especially his disciples, to focus, just focus on Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna, study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in particular, and go on Sankirtan. So, obviously, if one, like this kind of a statement can be taken in, you could say, in a fanatical way, misunderstood that way. But on the other hand, it is meant for us to understand that the real thing that we have to do is take shelter of Krishna, and then we don't have to worry about all these different, social conventions. On the other hand, sometimes we see examples in the Bhagavatam and even occasionally from Prabhupada's own activities where social conventions are paid attention to. Even Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya and he offered pinda to his father. Okay, any questions?